We are joined by Dr. Annette Palmer. She is chairperson of the Department of History and Geography here at Morgan State University. Will be part of Saturday's Caribbean American Heritage Month events at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum. And Helen Nguyen, who is marketing director at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of African American History and Culture. Welcome both. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to our Facebook pages. You can also just email us. I said steinershow@gmail.com. And you can tweet me at Mark Steiner. And here we are. So, Helen, first, let's talk about this exhibit. What is this exhibit?
You know, it's inspired by a 13-year-old African-American girl who helped create the original Star-Spangled Banner. This is the bicentennial of not only the national icon, the Star-Spangled Banner, but also the national anthem, which was inspired by the flag that flew over Fort McHenry. And we know generally that Mary Pickersgill created the original Star-Spangled Banner flag. What is less known is that she had an indentured servant named Grace Wisher in her household. She was African-American at 13 years old who helped create the flag. And she also, Pickersgill also had an enslaved person in her household whose name we don't know. And so Grace's untold story is the intellectual inspiration for the exhibition. Unfortunately, she disappears from the historical record pretty quickly, and so none of her personal effects are on display in the exhibition and may have been lost forever to history. But the theme of untold stories weaves throughout the exhibition at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum, which is called For Whom It Stands, the Flag and the American People, and it speaks to the diversity of experiences that we often don't think about because we are immersed in our own reality and know that reality best.
And we also don't know, I think, something that about this period and Francis Scott Key and that famous poem that he wrote while captured by the British, that Francis Scott Key himself was a man who argued cases before the Supreme Court to keep slavery in place, that he was a slave owner and pro-slavery. That's another piece of our history we don't kind of always talk about. There's the other piece of our history we don't talk about is what you're bringing to us, Dr. Annette Palmer.
Yes, I am bringing to the whole exhibit the whole idea of Americans, a group of African-Americans who fought on the side of the British in the War of 1812. We talk about the flag and we talk about the anthem, and we have to situate it in the War of 1812. And during that war, a number of African Americans from this area, the Chesapeake Bay area, Virginia and Georgia, joined and fought with the British. When the war was over, they were considered traitors, and the British had to take them out of the United States. They were taken to Bermuda. They spent a few months there, and they were taken to Trinidad, the southernmost Caribbean island, and they were set up in villages. They were taken in companies because they fought. They were fighters. They were trained to fight in the British Army. So they were taken in companies, six companies. And the villages they formed are still called company villages today.
And where are they?
They are in the south of the island.
Trinidad.
In Trinidad. Mm-hmm. And they are close to, the largest town is now called Princestown. It used to be called the Mission. And they had to put them away because, remember, this was an island that was recently taken over by the British. And there were slaves in the island. So they, I suppose you did not want to put an example of people who were free while you still have people who are slaves. So these were villages that were set up literally in the bush. And they were set up first company, second company never arrived. Third company, fourth company, fifth company, and sixth company. Those villages still exist. I was born in fifth company.
So you're descendants of the people who fought for their freedom during the War of 1812 here in the state of Maryland.
Yes, I am.
And came here from Trinidad back to Morgan State University.
Yes.
circuitous historical route.
Yes, it was.
But I think that's a significant time and period because I think people don't know that many people, we've had shows about this before, Ellen Gilbert wrote a really interesting book about this, but the numbers of African Americans who fought in the Revolutionary War and fought in 1812 on the side of the British for their own freedom.
Yes. Sometimes people argue that the British had a different legal system or something like that. But I think it was a basic kind of idea. The British offered freedom, and they were closer than the American troops. I suspect that black people ran away to both sides during both wars. For the people in the Chesapeake area, the British were in the Chesapeake, and therefore they ran to the British.
I always tell people this kind of this analysis we had in the program once that if the British had actually allowed Dunsmore's rule to take place, and Dunsmore being the British general who said we will give freedom to every African slave in America if they come to fight for the British and will end slavery, if they had listened to that rule in Britain, but they said no, you're too dangerous, don't do that, the Americans may not have won the war. Maine, who knows what would have happened, but that would have been a huge third column in the American South.
Yes.
And throughout this, and throughout what is now the United States.
Yes, yes. Well, and at the end of the war, when they lost, they had to find places to put them. So that you have large colonies of black people in Nova Scotia.
Right.
And from Nova Scotia, you have the people who formed Sierra Leone. And in other parts of Canada as well, you have in New Brunswick, and you have black people in Ontario, in colonies in Ontario, because a lot of the white loyalists took their African-American slaves, so that you have a scattering of black people. So this is a diaspora story. This is a story of black people who were scattered all over, but all they were seeking was freedom.
So what are the celebrations taking place this weekend at the museum around the Caribbean community?
Well, we have, it's called Caribbean Heritage Month. And I am involved with some other people, and we are showing a film that was made by the governments, at least the money for the film was put up by the governments of the United States, Great Britain, and Canada. And it's called The Americans. Because these people who left America are disparagingly called Americans. And we are showing that film. This is a story that is not well known. It's probably not even well known in Trinidad. And we would just like the story to be known. This is part of the untold stories, and we would like to tell that story. So we have a film, and we're going to show the film. Mrs. Hazel Manning, who is the wife of the former Prime Minister of Trinidad, who herself is American, who was the Minister of Education in a previous government, she's going to be here, and she was very instrumental in the creation of this film. So she's going to be here, and we are going to show the film, and we will entertain questions.
After the film, we'll also have author talks. We've invited Lauren Francis Sharma and Katia Ulisi, both Caribbean American authors, to talk about their acclaimed debut novels. And we'll also have kids' activities, so families are welcome to come and create their own flags and then join in a really fun parade in the museum with carnival costume dancers. So it's going to be a mix of, some really thought-provoking issues as well as family fun. And then at 4:00, we're going to join a nationwide sing-along of the national anthem with a Caribbean twist. We'll be playing the national anthem on the steel pan drums. And this is a Smithsonian initiative, actually, to celebrate the bicentennial of the Star-Spangled Banner flag. So across communities in the U.S., at 4:00 Eastern Standard Time, we'll be singing the national anthem in an effort to set a new world's record.
That's very cool. So before we have to go, one of the things that we'll talk about in greater detail later, we had Ta-Nehisi Coates in the show just the other week talking about reparations, and had several panels around it, and he continued this discussion on this show about the issue of reparations and the notion that when you look at the root of the word in the movement, it's repair, not give, it's repair. But right now, the Caribbean nations are on a quest, Karma Khan's on a quest, to force the European nations that were the slaving nations that ran the trade to recognize that and to deal with reparations.
Yes. You said repair. I like the word restore. And the 15 Caribbean nations, they were former British islands. They have formed what they call CARICOM. And the movement for reparations is not a new movement. But right now, the Caribbean nations have taken up this issue. And I think they have taken up the issue because it's the movement is pushed by the scholars at the University of the West Indies, which is a regional university. But one of the professors has now become the, I think his name is Gonzalez, Ralph Gonzalez. He has become the prime minister of St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the moving force. He's now the president because all the islands get a chance for their prime minister to be the leader of the organization for 1 year. He is the leader this year. And he is instrumental in pushing for this reparations for the Caribbean nation. And it is in keeping with reparations, because we ought not to forget that the reparation story is a Pan-African story. All people who are Africans who are not now living in Africa can indeed claim that they want reparation. So it's a Pan-African story. So it's not a new thing that the people in the Caribbean are doing or saying. They are simply joining their voices to this concept that has been alive in the United States and around the world, as a matter of fact,
well,
for quite some time.
As we continue our conversation with reparations here on the Mark Steiner Show, we'll have to call you to join some of those conversations. We'd love to have that.
Okay.
So, again, very quickly, what's happening this weekend so we can let folks know?
It's the Caribbean Heritage and Flag Day celebration, Saturday, June 14th at 12 to 4, and it's included with museum admission. So there will be a film, author talks, food, a parade, DJ Faze is spinning. So a lot of fun and, fun for adults and kids both. So come on out. We hope to see you.
Well, Matt, thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck this weekend. We look forward to talking to you some more as well.
Okay.
Thank you both for being here.
Thank
we were joined by Dr. Annette Palmer here, who is co-chairperson of the Department of History and Geography here at Morgan State University, and Helen Yuen from the Reginald F. Lewis Museum. Good to have you all here.
Thank you.
We're going to take a brief break. On our way out, we're going to hear Bob Dylan's Only a Pawn in Their Game, the song he wrote about Medgar Evers.
A finger fired the trigger to his name. A handle hit out in the dark. A hand set the spark. Two eyes took the aim behind a man's brain. But he can't be blamed. He's only a pawn in their game. The South politician preaches to the poor white man. You got more than the blacks, don't complain. You're better than them, you've been born with white skin, they explain. And the Negro's name is used, it is plain, for the politicians.